Pray with me as we begin. Father God, we are here for you this morning. It's not about me, it's not about us, it's about you. That's who we are here for. I don't claim to know all the baggage that is in this room from the past week. I don't even know mine fully, but you do. I'm thankful for that. And I pray this morning as we look into your word and we talk about your heart that we would hear from you. Fill this room with your spirit. I pray that you would just open our hearts to what you have for us. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, Louis had asked me a while ago when they figured out that they were going to go on this treacherous cruise and eat all this food and stuff like that. He asked me if I would fill in and preach for him. He said, I'm going to be gone 3 Sundays. How many of them you want to cover? I said, well, I'm going to be gone 2 of those, so I guess I'll take the middle one. And it so happened to be this Sunday. And he says, what are you going to be doing? I said, well, I'm going to take my vacation, and then I'm going to be in Honduras. He says, well, can you fit that in? I said, well, I think we'll make it work somehow. But when he asked me, instantly God laid on my heart what I wanted to talk about, what he wanted me to talk about. And so I'm kind of excited about this. It's me. You never know where we're going to go. So all I can say is, buckle up and hold on. And please keep your hands and feet inside the car and all that kind of stuff. So, but there's a story that goes like this. There's a man in a community that had a reputation for always being able to catch fish. Regardless of the time of year it was, or whether anybody else was catching fish, this man always managed to come back with a boatload of fish. Now, his brother-in-law happened to be the game warden and had always been amazed at this guy's success. So one morning, the man agreed to take his brother-in-law, who was the game warden, fishing with him. They went out to a lake that was actually known for its poor fishing. And the game warden watched his brother-in-law take out the boat to the middle of the lake and then cut the motor off. He was then confused as he noticed his brother-in-law didn't worry about finding a ledge or a brush pile or using a fancy electronic fish finder or anything like that. Instead of getting out his rod and reel, the game warden's brother pulled out a stick of dynamite out of a sack. He calmly lit it and threw it overboard. A few seconds later, there was, of course, a big boom, and almost instantly, the surface of the water was covered with stunned fish. The game warden could not believe what he had just witnessed. He immediately began reciting to his brother-in-law the fishing laws and regulations. And his brother-in-law simply reached into the bag for another stick of dynamite, lit it, and handed it to the game warden. He looked at him and he said, are you going to talk or are you going to fish? See, my dad always had this saying of, you either have to fish or cut bait. All right, you either have fish or cut bait. I'm not a fish fan. I don't like to eat fish, and thus I don't like to fish. But he grew up in Florida, and so fishing and cutting bait was what you did, and you didn't just sit on the boat. You didn't just sit there and watch or, watch everybody else work. If you were on the boat, you either fished or you cut bait. And what we believe determines if we are going to sit in the boat and watch or if we're going to fish or cut bait. If you are a outline person, I don't have any outlines in your bulletin, but conveniently it's online, and I have a picture of that, if you'll fire that. It's our website. And this is our new website. It's done by one of the most phenomenal web developers I know. Happens to be sitting among us. I won't name any names, but he's one of the taller guys in the crowd. And on our website that has just been redone, if you haven't been there in a while, I highly recommend that you go log on. I know everybody has it bookmarked and all that kind of stuff, but you should go check it out. We're hoping to put more things on there and it'd be a better resource. But on there, under the section on there where it says I'm new, even if you're not new, it tells what we believe. And under there, It says this: how do you live your life so authentically that there's no question about what you believe? Some people call it their creed, others call it dogma or position. Basically, doctrine is the bedrock on which you should build your beliefs, a body or system of teachings relating to that particular subject. What the Alliance believes about God, and thus the Elizabethan Alliance, and hopefully all of us individually, how he relates to us, how we relate to him, is foundational in its teachings. The Alliance wholeheartedly serves God and the people of his world, based soundly on the Bible. We live and die by these words, and believe they bring the only life that is worth living, one wholly committed to King Jesus. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is our mission. I heard a speaker one time, Erwin McManus, he spoke to our general council. You can leave that up there if you want to. It's just something to look at inside of me. He was speaking to our general council, which was in California like it just was, but a different place. And it was one of his most thorough exposures to the Christian Missionary Alliance. And he made this statement. He said, I'm going to say something, two words in the same sentence that I don't normally put together. I like your denomination. Now, he's a pastor of a rather large church that's non-denominational. And he's not a big fan of segregating out denominations, but he said, I really like your denomination. If there was one thing I could change, though, it would be I would remove the S. And that is, you talk about missions a lot. But what I don't think you realize is that you're on the mission. So if we got rid of that S, I think it would be great. So what I would like to do this morning is talk about our mission. And again, this can be found on the website. It's up behind us now. Very popular. It is very popular for, you know, businesses and organizations, all that kind of stuff, to have a mission statement. And for years, we have had a mission statement. And that mission statement, which I'm sure you all are quite familiar with and have memorized, went like this: God is preparing a people of purity and peace and power to praise and proclaim Christ in Elizabethan and beyond. And that's a pretty good mission statement. I was here when the former pastor Jack Bruce led us in coming up with that statement. It was very alliterated. It's usually referred to as the PP statement. There's lots of P's in there. But I will say this, even though it's completely true, it's hard to remember, and if it's hard to remember, it's even harder to embrace. So we have taken it upon ourselves to consolidate that into something that's easier. And what we consolidated that into is what you see on the website, which is on the screen behind me, and that is love, serve, multiply. Everything that we do here at Elizabethan Alliance Church surrounds those three words. If we do nothing, we must love, serve, and multiply. Love comes from Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 39, which says this: and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest, great, and foremost commandment. The second is like it: you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is probably a new verse that most of you haven't heard. And that's sarcasm. We've all heard this. But this is obviously the premier thing. If we are not loving, then we are not following the heart of God. So everything we do must start with love. Every thought, every word, every action, everything we plan, every program we do, every Sunday school class, every fellowship hour, every time we clean the bathroom after the cruise in, we must do it with love. Or as Scripture says, we're nothing more than what? Just a clanging cymbal. I don't know if you've been around one of those with a two-year-old, but I can't imagine that's very enjoyable to God to hear a clanging cymbal. So how do we love God? Because it says there in Matthew, we shall love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. How do we love God? Because it's kind of hard. You know, I've said this to the youth group before and all. I'm kind of one of those weird thinkers. I think outside the box. When you say a phrase or, you know, you mention something, I'm that grown-up five-year-old who always thinks, well, did they mean this? You know, what did they mean by that word? It sounds like he said, you know, I'm that guy that comes up with that. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, we have to love God. How do I do that? Well, how do we love other people? Well, you know, you can go up and you can give them a hug, you can hold their hand and all that. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard to hug God. I don't know if you tried it lately. I can't hug God. So how do we love God? How do we do that? Well, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. You obey me. You obey what? His heart desire. We find out what really matters to God. What is his desire? What really, really gets to him? What excites him? And we obey that. James 1:27 says, religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. In other words, what God really gets into is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, does that mean to love God, for us to be effective as a congregation, then all we have to do is go out and find widows and orphans and love on them? Well, yeah, that's a good start. But the idea is the concept, the heart attitude of we need to go out and look for people who have needs, who other people might be overlooking. And we need to love on them. We need to take care of them. And we need to not be caught up in whatever the world's got going on, whatever the biggest fad is, whatever the biggest drama thing is that's on news. Not that, you know, the news media ever dramatizes anything. It's just facts. But whatever that thing is, whatever else, we need to keep our eyes on looking around. And I'll admit it's really hard because, you know, the world is now on our hip. You know, we're walking around and, you know, we're all constantly getting tweets and notifications. This happened, that happened, this is going wrong, this country's doing that, this country's hiding this and all this, and we're all caught up in all this drama. And since we're sitting there looking around, you know, at TV screens or our phones or whatever, we're often not looking around in the sphere around us where God says, hey, I planted you here. I need you to open your eyes and look around here and see what's going on. So we don't need to be polluted by the world. We need to love God by serving others, which takes us to the second point of our mission statement, which is to love and to serve. We find this in Galatians 5:13-14. By the way, if you don't write these down, they're conveniently on the outline that's on the website. But Galatians 5:13-14, for you are called to freedom, brothers, not only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law itself is fulfilled in one word, in the statement that it reiterates from Matthew, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, we're given freedom. That's the crazy thing about how God works. Everything else in existence that ever does anything for us, puts anything out for us, is because it wants something from us. Everything. Only God says, you can't give me anything, and I'm going to give you everything. And because of that, I'm going to give you freedom, which immediately, in our selfish nature, sinful nature, we go, woohoo! We've got freedom! God's so awesome! And we go run off and we do our own thing. But God, what God says is, hey, I'm giving you the freedom to realize what a blessing and a privilege and how fulfilling it is to choose to follow me. And in order to do that, I want you to do that by serving one another. Boy, we have a great example in that, don't we? Christ came down. Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, no needs whatsoever. And what does he choose to do? He chooses to serve. He comes down and lowers himself. He washes the feet of the men that he's going to call to share this message, but yet he knows are going to leave him high and dry in just a few hours. Love equals service and sacrifice. That's what we see from the life of Jesus. Think about that. When is there an opportunity to love something, genuinely love something, someone, that doesn't call for service and or sacrifice? Love calls for both of those. We see that in the life of Christ. But God is not satisfied with us loving and serving. God has called us in his great plan. Why? I don't know. It's his deal. But instead of doing what he does best and could do better than anyone else, he calls us and he says, I want you to be my agents of multiplying the concept of loving and serving in this world. He calls us to multiply. And of course, we find that in the everyday commission or great commission, depending on what you want to call it, Matthew 28. And Jesus came up to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, or as you're going, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you, so that they in turn can love me by obeying my commands. And I am with you even to the end of the age. Now, I want to make an observation from this that kind of hit me as I was going through this, because I already thought I knew what I was going to say. But as I was going through this, I noticed there's something rather interesting about this everyday commission, about this concept of multiplying the world, making others that their heart desire is to love and to serve. God is not, what we need to be focused on is not asking God to send people to us. That's not a bad thing per se, but I've noticed that in my own life, I try to phrase things in certain ways because I get into a habit and a mentality, and if I say them over and over, then they kind of get a new definition. I try to make it a habit. I have since my kids were little. You know, when they ask what we were doing on Sunday, I would say, we're going to go meet with the church. And I remember trying to be very specific about changing my terminology. Because when I grew up, we went to church. And I will say it took a lot of mental and spiritual changing for me to realize that the church is not bricks and mortar. The church is not some holy place that, you know, is a building that the church is people. So we're going to go meet with the church. And in the same way, you know, we ask God to send us people a lot of times. I know I have. You know, send us people to come in the doors of our church. But what we need to be doing is praying and asking and training and equipping to go reach the people. That's what the everyday commission, that's what this commission we get out of Matthew 28 says. It says, as you're going, or go. It's telling us we're supposed to be going. Not just waiting. You know, well, if a fish comes by and happens to grab my hook that's still in the boat, that would be awesome. You know? But that's not what we're called to do. In fact, it's the exact opposite if we look at the biblical pattern. Luke 10:2. Jesus says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to what? Send out workers into his harvest field. Notice he doesn't say, hey, look, the harvest is great. So let's pray to the Lord of the harvest, that the harvest will come into us. You know, it'll just jump in the tractor, pull itself into the barn. You know, he says, let's send out the workers. It's a proactive thing. It's involvement. It's initiative. Isaiah 6:8 says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. We are asking God to reach people by sending us to go out to love, serve, and multiply. See, I believe that's why Irwin McManus was dead on when he said, you know, if you take that S off, it's not about missions. Missions is a part of the mission. We're sending people to specific places. Not all of us can go to Honduras. I know that. I have a deal with God. Every time that I have the privilege of planning and heading a mission trip, I have a deal with God. Because I'm the youth pastor, there's this overriding stigma that Pastor Brad plans it, it's a youth trip. I have never, ever, in my tenure here at Elizabeth Alliance Church, planned a youth mission trip. I made a deal with God back in 1999 when we went on our first mission trip to Peru, and I said, okay, God, I only had youth come with me. From now on, if I plan a mission trip, it will be a church mission trip, and I will not go on it. It will be your sign that we should not go if I don't have at least one other adult that is not connected to the youth ministry go with us. And you know what? God said, okay. And ever since then, that has been the case. But we all can't go. And the reason I know that, you know, everybody has different schedules and all that. Teenagers just usually have more. So there's usually more teenagers on our trip and all that kind of stuff. But not everybody can go. But everybody can be a part of the mission. We're going to Honduras. And God totally blessed our socks off. He, you know, we had some people that we made some changes. Some people came late into the game. And God gave through everybody in our set. Our objective is to get the team there. And God got the team there. He said, finances is not going to be an issue. He didn't do that because I went out and won the lottery or somebody else on the team. He did that because a whole huge group of people, both here and all across the globe, really, are on the mission. See, they want to be able to love. And just because a check was written and somebody can't go doesn't mean that there wasn't love. There was love in that check. You know, there's love in the people who have said, hey, I'm going to dedicate myself to be your prayer partner because I can't go. You're going to be my hands and feet. And so I'm going to cover you in prayer so that you can honor God in the best way possible. That's being on the mission. We can only do this by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we need to focus a little less on missions, which doesn't mean that we're going to focus less on missionaries, because they're on the mission, right? But we need to say, hey, this is our responsibility too. What is my mission? It doesn't require a plane or a passport to love or to serve or to multiply. And so I want to invite you guys, as the leadership has decided, you know, this is the culmination of our mission statement. This is the direction of which everything has to center around. If we are not loving, if we are not serving, if we are not multiplying, then we are not going in the right direction. So I want to invite you on a mission trip. I invite you on a short-term mission trip we'll call this life. Now you can board on it. You don't need a passport, anything like that. But you do get on the mission and you say, I want my life to be filled with loving God by serving others and multiplying this attitude, this heart attitude. That can only happen because, like I said, God's love is the only thing that gives and doesn't ask. And so if we are truly loving, if we are truly serving, if we're truly multiplying in that way, then we're multiplying the church the way God wanted us to. So I want to invite you on that short-term mission trip we call life. And then we get off at the terminal, and we walk up to see Christ at the end of the terminal. I don't know if you've ever been on a long trip and you've come home to a loved one and known what that's kind of like, but kind of envision getting off the plane, coming away from this thing called Earth, and watching Jesus run up and be all excited because he wants to hear all the stories. Oh, yeah, I saw all your posts and your tweets and all that kind of stuff about that mission trip you were doing on Earth. Man, was I thrilled how you were loving and serving and you were multiplying. In fact, here's the cool thing. I want you to turn around and look down the terminal because here's all the other people getting off the plane because you did that. That's how my weird mind pictures that whole well done, good, faithful servant thing. I'll admit I'm excited. I love airports. I'm excited about going to Honduras. I'm excited about seeing a new culture. I'm excited about reconnecting with Mark and Tracy and seeing the mission, the ministry that's going on there. But really what I'm reminded about every time I plan these and do this is that I should be just as excited about the opportunities God gives me here in Elizabethan, Tennessee to love and to serve and to multiply. Let me pray for us. Father God, your word is true. It can be amazingly complex, but sometimes you make it so simple, and we still don't see it. So, Father, we ask as we try to boil down to the core your purpose, your mission for us, not just on this short-term mission trip, not just for whatever events we put on here at church, but for our lives, that we would wholeheartedly embrace and pursue loving, serving, and multiplying. That we can honor you with our lives. We ask this not so that great things can come for us. We don't ask this so that we can have a big church. We don't ask this our congregation. We don't ask this so that we can feel like we've been successful and feel better about ourselves. We ask this so that your name may be glorified in a greater way than it already is. And may we never be satisfied. May we never become content with how much we have loved. May we never become content with how much we're serving. And may we never become content with how much we've multiplied. For your name's sake, for your glory, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.